At a scrapyard in South Texas, workmen are cutting apart a historic World War II aircraft carrier. Despite an intense year-long campaign to save her, the USS Cabot will be sold as scrap steel. The carrier had an illustrious career in the Pacific, earning 9 battle stars and a presidential citation. 26 naval aviators became aces flying from her deck. NPR's John Burnett has this remembrance of the carrier the war correspondent Ernie Pyle called the Iron Woman.
She floats in a narrow slip in the sand off the Brownsville Navigation Channel. She looks less and less like a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier every day. Her island has been cut off. That's the superstructure that sticks up from the deck. Most of the wooden flight deck is gone, too. Her 40-millimeter guns lie in the sand. The acetylene torches slicing up her armored hull have made her look vandalized and helpless. Still, 2 old sailors are impatient to walk her decks one more time and bid their warship farewell. They both live in South Texas, not far from the scrapyard. One has brought his wife.
Come on, we got to go aboard this thing.
Yeah. This is the first time since 1946. After all these years.
Now you're at the USS Cabot.
This is called adrenaline.
The USS Cabot.
Oh, Lord.
They're both in their 70s and retired now. One went on to become a high school carpentry instructor, the other a crop duster. They were teenagers when they first walked up the Cabot's gangplank. The experience made them men and gave them a source of pride that still glows more than a half century later.
My name is Ray Clark, and I served during the Second World War on the Cabot. I was a torpedoman. I left a second-class torpedoman, and it saddens me to see it look like it does today, but I guess it's necessary. We were fighting like crazy to keep it in one piece, but we didn't quite make it.
My name is Dewey Merriman, and I was in the gunnery department, deck division on the USS Cabot. I went out with it the last time it went out in World War II in 1945 and 46. And it doesn't look anything like it did then.
Indeed, it's hard to imagine this is the same ship that fought in the Marianas Turkey Shoot, the first naval strikes on Tokyo and Okinawa, and the Battle of Leyte Gulf, the largest naval battle in history. Ray Clark recounts the Cabot's statistics as the cutting torches hiss and spark above him.
Number of enemy planes shot down by air groups, 252. Number of enemy planes shot down by the ships and aircraft, 8. Number of planes destroyed on the ground by air groups, 96. Number of ships hit with torpedoes or bombs, 265. Number of planes lost due to enemy
air. Praise the Lord to pass the ammunition.
The USS Cabot was the last of her kind, the only World War II era light carrier to make it into the 21st century. 7 others of her class have all been scrapped, and 1 was sunk in battle. More than that, though, she was the last surviving World War II aircraft carrier out of more than 100 in its near original configuration. Among other things, she had no angled flight deck. She survived the double kamikaze attack on November 25, 1944, that killed 35 men. Lieutenant Howard Skidmore earned a Purple Heart that day. When the first suicide plane hit, he was sitting in an Avenger torpedo bomber fastened to the catapult ready to take off. He's 81 today, living in the Los Angeles area.
The aircraft came in, crashed just 5 feet ahead of me, and the next thing, I was sitting in a fiery furnace. The flames of him crashing in on the flight deck on my port side, we were making a starboard turn, so the wind, 25, 30 knots coming across the deck, was pushing that fire right back into the cockpit. And, of course, I got out of the airplane not only because of the flames, but I had 400 or 500-pound bombs in the bomb bay.
Of all the aircraft carriers in World War II, the big Essex-class ships have traditionally received the most glory and attention. 4 of them have been renovated as floating museums: the Yorktown, the Intrepid, the Lexington, and the Hornet. The Cabot belonged to the smaller Independence class, which also performed heroically, but has historically received slight notice. Peter Stout is a writer from the Charlottesville, Virginia area who led the fight to save the Cabot. He says this group of carriers came into being suddenly and urgently.
There were 9 Cleveland-class light cruisers under construction in Camden, New Jersey, at the beginning of the war. After Pearl Harbor happened, Franklin Roosevelt, by executive order in January 42, ordered that those cruisers be turned into carriers. They were a hybrid of cruiser hulls with aircraft carrier decks built on top of them. It really is a wonderful example of, you know, American ingenuity under the duress of war.
She was retired in 1989, and for the past 12 years, the Cabot has floated in a sort of maritime purgatory, first along the Mississippi near New Orleans, then at Port Arthur, Texas, and finally at the Brownsville scrapyard. Peter Stout formed the Iron Woman Foundation and spent more than a year trying to find donors and drum up interest to rescue her. But adopting a warship is a massive undertaking, requiring at least $5 million for towing, renovation, a pier facility, and a curator and maintenance staff. When no patron stepped forward, an Indian shipbreaking company bought the Cabot, by this time designated a National Historic Landmark, at a federal auction. The price? $185,000. Stout says the scrappers called him when the first torch cut into her last October. She'll be completely gone by midsummer.
And I think maybe we had ultimately been successful. But you know, it's the old Vince Lombardi thing that the Green Bay Packers never lost a game. They just ran out of time. And we just ran out of time.
Honey, come here. This is where we stored our torpedoes, here and over there. We had 22 torpedoes stored in here. And the torpedo shop.
The two old seamen, Ray and Dewey, picked their way across the hangar deck, now littered with scraps of metal, broken glass, and splintered wood, and their memories keep drifting back.
They were pushing, it was an F-6F or TBM, I don't remember which airplane it was, on here, and somebody hit the elevator button and took it up. Half of it was hanging off and half on, cut it about half in two when they got up at the top. So later on, after they took all the electronics and the engine and everything off, they took a crane, swung it over the side, was going to use it for gunnery practice, but it didn't float very long. Everybody hollered, "Buy more war bonds," when they threw that sucker over.
Just like they happen today. They have those bad things happen all the time. But, you know, I was on here almost 3 years, and I only remember good things, really. Only remember good things.
In February 1945, Scripps Howard war correspondent Ernie Pyle spent 2 weeks aboard the Cabot. His now famous column began, "An aircraft carrier is a noble thing." What Pyle observed about the Iron Woman's crew is as true today as it was 56 years ago. "They are not romantic about their long stay out here," he wrote. "They yearn pathetically to go home. But down beneath, they are proud, proud of their ship and proud of themselves." John Burnett, NPR News, aboard the remains of the USS Cabot.
Those are the springs we used to sleep on.